I'm 91.
Going back to your military experience, did you enlist or were you drafted?
I was drafted.
How old were you?
I think I was 23 or 4.
And what year was that?
I think it was 41. It was before Pearl Harbor.
Tell me what happened from the time you were signed up then.
Well, we took our training in Camp Claiborne, Louisiana. At the time of Pearl Harbor, we were I had an automobile in the at camp, and the guys, when they had time off, would hire me to drive them around. So the night of the day of Pearl Harbor, we were in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. We got report some way to report back to camp. And when we got back to camp, they got us ready to go to the oil fields in Louisiana to guard the oil field. Well, that lasted for a short time, and then right away they shipped us to Fort Dix, New Jersey, getting us ready to go overseas.
Did you go overseas then from Fort Dix?
Yeah, from Fort Dix, I understand I was on the first ship with troops that went overseas to Europe. We landed in Belfast, Ireland. But this was after a rough trip across the North Sea in the wintertime. The North Sea is really rough. So all, not I won't say all, but most every soldier got seasick. And we were in the hold of the ships. We had bunks, one above the other, probably three or four. So it was nice if you had the top bunk, because when they were seasick, they were throwing up and you might get hit. Well, anyway, the waves were so bad that the water come over the deck, and we were in the hold of the ship, the bottom of the ship. And that's where our bunks were. The water would, when the ship would roll, the water would rush that way across the floor, back that way across the floor. The vomit of the soldiers, a lot of their equipment would be rushing back and forth across the floor. Well, one morning a couple of the guys were up on deck. They were real sick, and they were throwing up. And a chaplain come by and he tapped one of the guys on the shoulder and he said, "You're pretty weak on your stomach, ain't you, soldier?" He said, "The hell I am. I'm throwing it just as far as he is." Well, we spend our time in training in Ireland. From Ireland, they shipped us to Scotland. In Scotland, I got scarlet fever. So I laid in bed, I don't know, 3 weeks, and I was probably quarantined for longer than that. Well, I got it well enough. They transferred me out of my group into another group in the same 34th Division. So we made this long sea trip to North Africa, where we took part in landing on the shores of North Africa. Our particular one was Algiers, where we made landing at night, and we made our way through the countryside and come in on the back side of Algiers to run out the Germans who were they had positions. I don't know just how it all went, but anyway, after that episode, I think we spent our Christmas in Algiers, and before they sent us to Tunisia.
And was this in 42?
This was in 43. While in Ireland, I had bought a guitar. I could play a little. But I took that guitar on ship with us, and we found that we had a guy on that ship that would, he was really good.
And you played a little too, right?
I played a little. And I think the patients in that hospital, when I had scarlet fever, they got enough of my strumming. But anyway, we spent, you know, I don't know how long, 2-3 weeks on the ocean before we got to Algiers. So we had quite a time with the use out of that guitar. Well, anyway, when we were sent to the front lines, I was carrying that guitar on my back. And the officer, I don't remember whether it was Eisenhower or who it was, but one pretty high up officer, he drove by and he looks around. But he didn't say anything, he just kept on going. But anyway, when things got rough, I laid that cactus, I mean that guitar under a cactus tree, cactus bush. I don't know about what the Arabs probably thought it was a booby trap, but I don't know.
So when were you captured by the Germans? Because you were a POW in Germany, weren't you?
Yeah, if you might, you know, the British German, the German general they called the Desert Fox, which was Rommel, he was going pretty good into Africa. And the British had got him stopped. So they were retreating toward, the Mediterranean, you might say. Well, we were sent in there to stop him, to cut him off before he could get back. But instead, he surrounded us. And during that campaign, there were several tank battles fought, and in our positions we were told to dig in this in the hills, which we did. Well, most of us got our holes dug, but one fellow in particular hit so many rocks he couldn't get down. But he got down as far as he could, and he was crunched over with his back exposed, and the mortar shells started coming in on us. And one Charlotte between him and me, and it ripped his back open, and I seen he was in trouble, so I jumped out of my hole. I went over and grabbed his hand, and I started dragging him back. On the way back, some more shells started dropping. I pulled him into a shell hole. And some officer hollered on me, "Leave him alone, just leave him alone. The medics will take care of him." Well, he was bleeding out of his ears, out of his mouth, and his back was ripped open. But I just, of course, I left him. And on the way home, after we spent a couple of years in prison, we were on a ship on our way home, and a guy come up to me. He said, "Hey, you remember that guy you pulled out of his foxhole?" I said, "No, I don't expect to see him again." But the Germans had got him, and they picked him. They fixed him all up. Yeah. It's unbelievable.
So he survived. Yeah.
Yeah, he was on his ship going home.
So I have to ask you what it was like in the prisoner camp. As I understand, at one point you got so sick that you're eating dandelions because that was the only food you could get.
Well, yeah. When we were cut off from supplies for 3 4 days, one evening a plane come over and dropped us a little food. And we could lay on the ground and eat the food they had dropped us out of our hands. At the same time, they dropped a note telling us, "Drop your weapons. Just leave your weapons and try to get back to our friendly line." Well, at night, we broke up in small groups, probably no more than 10 soldiers, and we were told to head for a certain point in the mountains. We could travel at night, but and then hide away in the daytime, which we did. And through the daytime, we hadn't had any water and no food. But occasionally it would rain a little bit. So the guys would carry their helmets upside down to catch a little water to drink. And besides that, the rain would collect in the rocks a little bit. So you'd get down and lick the water off the rocks. Well, hiding in the daytime and traveling at night, we kept this up for 3 4 days. But one of them mornings, we were surprised by a vehicle approaching us. And we thought for sure it was American vehicle that we heard. Well, we all jumped out of the bushes and tried to recognize or be recognized, but all at once the guns started to the bullets started to fly in, and one of the guys laying there on his back, he hollered, "American, American." "Bosh," Old German hollered, "Bosh." And he quit shooting. Nobody got hit. For what reason, we don't know. But the only thing I can figure out is up on that weapons carrier, he couldn't get his guns down far enough. So we escaped that episode. But anyway, a couple more days and nights, and the final night, they did trick us into walking right into their position. It was on a night when the moon was just shining enough so that you could barely see shadows. But anyway, when I saw we was cornered, I started to run, and one of the guys hollered. He said, "Stop." He said, "Stop, there's somebody right up ahead of you." And of course, I thought there was, so I stopped. They took me and a bunch of others prisoner. Well, they rounded us up and put us on the top of a hill to spend the night. And the pile of soldiers got so big, and everybody was laying down next to each other to keep warm. Well, I tried to lay down and keep warm too, but I couldn't keep warm. So I got and stopped and started walking around the pile of soldiers. Well, it wasn't long before a German grabbed me. He said, "Come with me." So he put me on a weapons carrier, and the driver took me back to a German field kitchen where they took care of the food for their troops. So they gave me a little bit to eat and then sit there and laugh at me, because I was pretty hungry, I suppose. At the same time, they were burying their dead soldiers right next to us. And if you know the German uniform, on the belt they have a buckle that says, "God mit uns," God is with us, or God is on our side. And I thought that was kind of strange, because we were told that God was on our side. Well, anyway, they shipped us to Italy. They flew us across the Mediterranean on planes, and this plane was an old German freighter. And they always told me that the airplane wings, they didn't go up and down like that, but this one did. This old plane, and the wings actually went. That was my first plane ride. And, well, we flew across the Isle of Capri and landed in Naples, Italy. We dug holes there to keep warm because they had taken our clothes. Then they put us on boxcars and sent us to Germany by rail in the wintertime over the mountains. And I got so cold I couldn't. I lost all feelings from my race down. Well, they put us in a warm building, and I got influenza. So I ended up getting so sore that I couldn't straighten my legs. About like, this is all I could do. So it take a buddy or two to get me to a slit trench. But anyway, I stayed in this German hospital, all wired in. It was fenced in with a wire. But towards spring, when spring started coming, the weather started getting warm and the sun was pretty good. So I laid out in the sun, and the dandelion started growing, and I could crawl around the fence and eat dandelions. And I finally got where I could walk. So they decided they was going to send me to a work camp. So they marched me to a work camp, and the next morning it was the same thing over again. I couldn't straighten my legs up. But I finally did get well enough, and by this time they was shipping us to the northern Germany to work on the farms in that area. But before they shipped us over there, we were had a work camp right off the coast of Switzerland. Well, me and a fellow from Kansas, we got real acquainted, and at the time we were getting partials from the Red Cross, and in these partials was a can of coffee, about a pint can or half a pint can. Anyway, we were saving them cans to make a life raft, a life jacket, so we could get across that river and get into Switzerland. But before that program developed, why they shipped us out to the farms in northern Germany. And there we worked until the Russians came behind us, and finally the Germans and Russians come together, and that's when we were liberated.